Okay, and welcome back to Living on Purpose. And now I have a special guest on the phone calling in from Hornby Island. Hello, Doug.
Hi there.
Yeah, this is Doug Carrick, and you are living in a place that's envied by the whole world right now because you're living on the property where that eagle nest is.
Yes, and it's just a lovely day today also.
It is, yeah. So what are our friends the eagles doing right now?
Well, I always have the camera, the television on, and right here. And it's just sitting in the sun. Earlier it was being shaded by the stump part of the tree, but now it's looking like it's getting overheated a little bit.
Yeah, I noticed one of the days I tuned in that the eagle's beak was a little open as if it was almost panting.
I think that's a way of cooling off.
Yeah. And the other day it was at night, so I guess I was seeing the footage from during the day, but it was so precious. It reminded me of how a cat nods off when it's sort of, you know, in the crow pose, and the eagle was the head was just slowly resting. And
yes, I saw that.
Did you see that too?
I saw that for the first time this year. I really hadn't noticed. You know, people ask, do eagles sleep? And I said, well, I don't know. You know, it's generally dark, and so I never know.
Yeah, exactly.
But I saw this during the day.
It was an eagle
nap.
His
head was dropping down. His eyes were sort of closing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was great. Now, can you tell me and the listeners just a little bit about how this even got started? I mean, you've been living there quite a while with these eagles nesting. How did this come about for this eagle cam this year?
First of all, I was watching the eagles. I've been watching for 17 years now.
Oh, wow.
And the first 15 years, it was just telescopes and binoculars and so on and recording everything.
Right.
And then I thought it'd be nice to get a camera up the tree. So I found out about it, and I got a climber. I didn't go up. A climber to put the camera up the tree. It's 120 feet above the ground. And originally it was supposed to be about 10 feet. I had a branch sort of sized up, 10 feet from the nest. But when the climber got up there, the branch was rotten. That wouldn't do. So he said, this will have to be the only place. And it was right in their faces. But anyway, go ahead and do it. You know, it's got to be done. And it turned out to be a wonderful accident because we've got this close-up, intimate look at them.
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing. Like, are the eagles aware that the camera is there?
Well, we put it up when they were on migration, which is in the month of September. They go away, the whole family, no eagles here. And we put it up then. And when they came back in October, they landed. And the camera was sort of camouflaged a bit with bark around it.
Yeah.
But they came back and they spotted it. And then they started glaring and staring at it.
Yes, I've noticed that.
And then the female, she's the tough one, the aggressive one.
Yeah.
The male is rather passive. And she took over the lead here and went up to it, started pecking around and checking it, and then put her face right into the camera. And when it put its face in the camera, its head gets bigger and bigger, like a pterodactyl or something, prehistoric bird.
Yeah.
So it was quite dramatic there. But within a week and a half, they got quite used to it.
They got used to it, yeah.
Yeah, and so it's been there for a year and a half now. And this was all done, by the way, with permission of the Ministry of Water, Land, and Air.
That's good to know, yeah.
Protection. You know, they won't let you tamper around with trees, eagle trees, without that.
Sure.
So anyway, I got the camera up.
Well, that's amazing. Now, do you have to go up to maintain it or anything, or is it really all set up?
Well, it's been up there for a year and a half now, but sometimes I can hear a bit of scratching noise, as if there's some electrical short somewhere. So certainly this September, when they're gone, I'm going to have to get a new camera put up.
Yeah, and I mean, there's so many people who know about it now. I mean, is that part of the reason that it freezes and isn't available sometimes because there's so many people drawing on it?
Yes, I think that's it. You know, they've been bringing computers into my house to transmit the message from here down to San Francisco, down to Los Angeles, where the servers are. And the servers are putting in more and more equipment, more sophisticated stuff. We all anticipated, you know, the increased interest as the hatching might happen.
Yeah.
And I've had better and better computers put here, and they're keeping, it's just a desperate race to try and keep up to the traffic.
Exactly. That's what it seems like. Now, let's talk about the eagles a little bit. There were two eggs for quite a while, and you keep sort of trying different estimates on how long it should be from, you know, from conception to hatching, and now we're down to one egg. It's a bit of a mystery. And this one, there's still taking turns sitting on it.
Yes.
And so what can we expect, Doug?
Well, I'm on dendrohooks, I must say.
Yeah.
The first estimates were based on 35 days. That's the textbook number from the time the egg is laid until it hatches.
Okay.
So we let it go, predicting the 25th of March would be the day the first one.
Of April, you mean?
Yes, you're right.
Okay.
Of April.
Right.
Would be the hatching the first. And of course, it didn't happen.
Right.
But I knew that our eagles aren't textbook eagles. They took 38 days last year.
Okay.
And so that allowed it up to the 28th of the month, but it still didn't happen.
Uh-huh.
And I was telling myself, well, you know, when you have babies, you don't always come in the day you expect them.
No.
And so let's allow a few more days. We sort of did that. But anyway, the first egg must have been a bad one.
Oh.
So anyway, with the second egg, it was laid 4 days later. So if you apply the 38 day to it, the deadline for hatching is today.
Today, May 2nd, right now. Oh, boy.
I know, and I see it gets off the egg, and for a while yesterday, of course, you get to have illusions and dilusions or something.
Eagle fever.
Eagle fever. And you kind of think, oh, there's a hole, I can see it.
Yeah.
I thought so yesterday, but I tried to keep quiet.
Yeah.
And looking today, I really haven't seen the same thing. I just see a fairly smooth round day.
Yeah, because you don't want to have another false alarm. That would be unsaid.
Because I was one that sort of set it off to some extent last time.
Yeah.
So,
well, why do they lay the eggs not at the same time? Do you know why there's a gap in that?
Well, there's a four-day difference around that every time.
Uh-huh.
And the first one always has advantage. It gets considerably bigger. By the time the second one hatches, the first one will be a fair size. And there, whenever food's brought in, the first one always gets the first choice. And I think the evolutionary value of that is that if there's not that much food, at least one will survive and the other doesn't.
Yeah, so it's a little uneven.
So it's, and yet if the first one, something happens to it, well, the second is sort of a backup.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what the explanation is supposed to be.
Well, I've got a comment from an email here from a listener wanting me to remind the listeners that even though eagles look cross, they're really not, and they do a lot of fishing, and the bridge over their eyes is to shield the sun so they can spot the fish. It's sort of like wearing a little baseball cap.
I see. Yeah, that's good. Because they do look like they're scowling, don't they?
Yeah, they sure do. They look a little disgruntled, especially when they hear a little bit of chainsaw noise. I've noticed it's been pretty quiet lately, though.
It has been, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been nice. Just the little bird song and the odd little boat going by or something.
Yeah, we had quite a bit back there. And of course, the thing about that is, at first, you know, it is quite noisy. I knew the eagles are quite used to all that.
Yeah.
But what it is the amplifier, the speaker up there is amplifying the sound.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
it's not as loud up there as it sounds like it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're quite used to it anyway.
Yeah.
You know, that's not their worry. Human beings or human activity, not at all. What gets them most alarmed is if another eagle flies above their nest. Then you hear the screeching like anything. They don't like other eagles flying above their nest.
Oh, yeah, and that's when they're sort of looking up.
That's
like,
right.
Yeah.
And they really holler.
So that's what that calling, I wasn't sure sometimes if that was them communicating when they were going to switch places.
Yeah,
or?
Well, when they're looking up and really, it's almost a frantic
screech,
almost
seen that.
Beyond its ability to screech.
Okay.
That's another eagle flying by.
Oh, okay.
If they've been on a long time, if it's time to take a turn, then it'll be aiming at the eagle in another tree and making it known there.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what about those pesky little crows? I haven't seen any crows dive bombing the nest.
Where are you from? No, I'm interested.
Oh, well, I used to live on Denman. I've lived in the Comox Valley area for many years.
Okay, that's it. So you're very familiar about the crows dive bombing eagles.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And over the years, I think I'm the only person that understands that. But I watch the crows, you see, at low tide, and the crows are down on the beach, rolling over pebbles, turning away seaweed, looking in tidal pools, and they find fish, you know, about 8-9 inches long.
Yeah.
And the eagle just sits up in the tree and, oh, that looks good, and comes down and takes it off them.
Right.
And they get so mad, and this is a dive bombing.
Oh.
Now, the dive bombing has not been going on, still hasn't yet, until this the eagle starts stealing the fish.
Yeah.
And they generally don't bother with the smaller fish themselves. It's only once the chicks have hatched.
Right.
So this is why I'm watching very closely right now.
Right.
If the chick hatches, then all of a sudden you see a nest, all kinds of these small fish landing in the nest.
Right,
and
right.
And they're stealing them from the crows.
Right. Oh, isn't that interesting?
Yeah,
I didn't know about that part.
Yeah, so and that's why I can understand how the crows feel about it.
Oh, yeah. Well, and it is so funny sometimes when you see the crows pretending to be eagles. That always gives me a laugh when they sit up proud on the top of a tree near the eagle,
right.
You know. Now, one thing that I learned recently is that one of the things that the eagles will do once the eaglet has shown up, and hopefully we will be seeing one soon, is that they walk around on the nest with their talons curled in so that
yeah.
they won't damage the baby, which is really interesting.
Well, they're doing that right now with eggs, too.
Oh, with the eggs, too.
And both times, they just roll their talons underneath, so
mm-hmm.
they're walking on their knuckles. So.
Yeah, exactly. And I remember when I first found out about this a few weeks ago and tuned in, that I loved the way that the eagle would sort of anchor him or herself with its beak.
Isn't that something?
And then wiggle around from there. I love that.
That's right. They sort of pivot. They find a branch, fairly solid branch, take a hold of it, and then pivot.
Yeah. And I also just wanted to briefly say how great it is that this is dedicated to the memory of Ben Kramer. Do you know Ben at all?
Being both eagle people, we were in contact
yes.
with each other.
Yes, and he used to climb up into trees on par with the eagle nest, and photograph them.
That's right.
Extensively, yeah.
I'm just actually, because I've had so much people asking about Ben Kramer, I'm actually sitting on my computer writing the story of Ben Kramer.
Oh, good for you.
I've got to get it down where I realize there's an emotional impact on that story.
Yeah.
So I've got to get it down, and that's what I was doing now.
Oh, really? Well, Doug, I wonder if at some point you would be willing to come on the show again sometime to share that story, because we don't have enough time today.
Yeah, okay. We'll make it the Ben Kramer. It really is a story.
It really is.
There's many facets to this story.
Yes.
It's just incredible.
Well, I think that would really be worthy. I would be very honored to share that with my listeners.
Yeah, okay.
So we'll keep in touch, okay?
No, it's Lynn, isn't it?
It's Lynn Thompson, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And the show's Living on Purpose.
Oh, and yeah. Now, is this from Malaspina College?
Where it's connected. It's Radio Malaspina. We're actually in the heart of downtown Nanaimo,
yeah.
but it is Radio Malaspina. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. I just knew it sort of to do with downtown Nanaimo. And then I was reading just our local little thing, the first edition, and someone
oh, yes.
says, oh, I just love Hornby Island had some radio for a little while, and then I'm trying to get it back again.
Uh-huh.
And says, I just love radio. The only one I listen to now is CHLY. And, oh, I know that, and I checked up, and it's yours.
It is, and maybe some of your neighbors are listening to us right now.
Yes.
Oh, that's great, Doug. Well, welcome to the community.
Okay, well, check with me. I'll work away on my story.
Excellent.
And we'll get back together again.
I will look forward to that. Thanks so much for being with us, Doug.
Okay, then.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye for now.